Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Thank you because in you we live. In you we move. In you we have our being. Father, we ask that you breathe upon the service tonight. Like the song said, don't leave us alone, dear Lord. Deliver us from every trace of aloneness. Let it be clear to us and clear to the world that God is with us. Blessed be your name, Lord. Be glorified, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. He will not leave you alone. He said, lo, I am with you, even to the ends of the earth. And you will see his presence in your life like never before. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome somebody, shake somebody's hands around you and welcome them to the presence of the Lord. Welcome everyone here to this service tonight in Jesus' precious name. We had the most unusual service on Sunday, and that message of Sunday is a message that has reverberated through the land and even other nations. We have people from places around the world spreading that message like fire, and we have even people in town here in church asking that train of teaching, if sustained a little bit, may be able to destroy the very, very toxic climate that we have in the world today. Very toxic climate. And I believe that the Lord will help us. I want to encourage every one of us, ensure that you let that message go, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Very quickly, that's right. Love, the foundation of godly character. Pick it up. Share it. Spread it. We have nuggets and clips of it that can go very, very, very far. Tonight, we want to look at the subject of above only by godly character. Above only by godly character, which is actually the theme of the month. Our main objective is to understand the lifting power, understanding the lifting power of godly character. Throughout the scriptures, we can see, and it is clear, that godly character is a lifter of people. In our world today, it appears as if the badder, the better. But the truth of the matter is, godly character is a lifter of people. I'm going to give a couple of examples. First of all, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 18, all the way to verse 24. Bible said, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. That was financial integrity personified.
Abraham was determined never to take what was not his. I will not take what is thine. I will not cross from you to myself what is yours. The outcome of that in the life of Abraham was that there was nobody bigger than Abraham in his generation. Genesis chapter 24 verse 1. The Bible says that Abraham was rich, was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things, all. Verse 35 of the same chapter 24 of Genesis, the Lord blessed my master greatly, he's become great and has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, asses. To such a point that when it was time for Abraham to go, I believe it was Genesis chapter 25 verse 8 and 9 thereabout, he left and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man, full of years. And he was gathered to his people. An old man, full of years, good old age. That was the lifting power of godly character. I won't touch, I won't take what is yours. When a man has made up his mind not to take what is his, then God is determined to give him what is rightfully his. That we see in the life of Abraham. Our next example will be the life of Jacob. In Genesis 31 verse 39. Again, very rigid financial integrity. If you read from verse 38 for a clearer understanding. Jacob said, "These 20 years have I been with you. Your ewes and your sheep goats have not cast their young. And the rams of your flock have I not eaten." Where they say where a person walks is where he eats from. If that eating is legal, no challenge. But if the eating is illegal, it's a challenge. If you are eating from there because of legal channels that are rightfully yours, no problem. That which was ton of beast, I didn't bring it to you. I didn't bring you liability. I bear the loss of it. And of my hand you required it, whether it was stolen by day or stolen by night. What was the end of Jacob? Genesis chapter 30 verse 23. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and asses exceedingly. There is a link between material authority and personal integrity. There is a link between financial authority and personal life integrity. That was what Jacob exemplified. As crooked as we think Jacob was, as cunning as many people think he was, he will not bring losses to his master. He was not a liability, neither was he a burden. The outcome of it was that he increased exceedingly. Somebody shall increase exceedingly. If you are the one, say aloud, amen. Third example, Joseph. We are looking at the lifting power. We see three things in the life of Joseph. First, we see faithfulness and integrity in financial handling. Second, we see faithfulness and integrity in financial handling. Second, We see moral integrity. And third, we see the fear of God. That is the fear of God on all matters. In Genesis 39 verse 5, we see the first one, verse 5 to 6. It came to pass from the time that he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and faithful. So here was his faithfulness and integrity in financial matters. Potiphar left everything in his hand, and nothing was missing. Now, you look at Genesis 39 and in verse 9, you see the second one. He was talking to Potiphar's wife. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This was faithfulness and uprightness regards Potiphar's wife, who put him under pressure. This was pressure from master's wife. And this man said no. That was Genesis 39 and in verse 9. If Joseph had said yes, maybe he would have been removed from being a servant and made something bigger in Potiphar's house by Potiphar's wife's recommendation. But he would never have smelt the palace. That would have been the end of his journey. That saying no took him to the prison where he met the person that connected him to the palace. Thirdly, we see a general fear of God in the life of Joseph. In Genesis 42 and in verse 18. And here he said, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. This fear of God undergirded everything Joseph did. And the outcome of Joseph's life in Genesis 41, what became of Joseph? In Genesis 41, look at verse 40 all the way to verse 44. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto your word shall my people be ruled, all my people. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around about his neck. Hallelujah. Listen, the path of character may be slow, but it is sure. The path of compromise may be fast, but it fails. Show me a person who insists on character. His journey may appear slow. His journey may appear long, but it is sure and certain. Show me a person of compromise. He may appear to be on the fast lane, like you know some of your mates who are making money so fast. And you are wondering, how are they making this money and I can't make this money? How are they getting this contact and I can't get it? It may appear very fast, but at the end of it, it fails and does not have a future. That was what we saw in the life of Joseph. There is lifting power in character. That was number three. Number four example is Job. Job was a man that you will say maintained character at all costs. Maintained character at all costs, whatever it will cost. In Job chapter 1, and in verse 1, the Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz
whose name was Job.
That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Can stop there. Perfect and upright. Not crooked and perverse. Perfect and upright. He was a man that feared God. He eschewed evil. He reacted against evil. He resisted evil. He rebelled against evil. Look at his vow in Job chapter 27 verse 1. At this time, Job was already under a lot of pressure, under a lot of pain, in severe temptation. The Bible says, moreover, Job continued this parable and said, as God liveth, who has taken away my judgment? That was what he taught them. And the Almighty who has vexed my soul. That is, he was thinking that it was God who was tormenting him. Meanwhile, his fear brought the things. But even if it was God, you remember earlier on he said, even though he slay me, I will trust him. In Job 13:15, that was integrity at all costs. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Now, he's now saying that in my thought, God has taken away my judgment and is vexing my soul. Verse 3, look at that now. For as long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness. My tongue will not utter deceit. I won't lie with my tongue. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Anything could go. I could lose money. I could lose friends. I could lose everything, but not my integrity from me. That's Job's vow. My righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I won't let it go. And what was the end of Job? Job chapter 1 verse 3. This man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great house. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. I see somebody going there. If you are that person, say louder, amen. If you are that person, say louder, amen. In your place of work, let them say you are too strict. In your family, let them say you are too unbending. In your class, let them say you are too antisocial. Wherever you are found, let them say you are abnormal. Anti-people because you refuse to play ball. And just hold on to God in truth. The day will come when if they are looking for the person who will not bend, it is you they will look for. I told you this story before of a young lady who was put under pressure by her boss in the office for immorality. And she refused. And she was sacked. And after her sack, she got another job. But the job required that her last boss gives a recommendation. Let your last boss give us a referee about you. That is, the boss she said no to, she's meant to go and meet him to recommend her. Well, if that is the requirement, I will go. So she went trepidatiously. Please sit down. And the boss wrote, yes, I know this lady. She worked with me. Even though she's no longer working with me now. But this is my recommendation. In case you are looking for somebody who will not bow to pressure, you are seeing the right person. In case you are looking for somebody who will not be compromised for any reason, who will not fear faces and do the wrong thing, you have the right candidate. That was how an enemy gave her the best recommendation, because she refused to bend. Character may cost initially, but it pays eventually. It may cost initially. It may cost initially. It may cost in the immediate, but it pays in the ultimate. It may cost in the immediate, but it pays in the ultimate. It may cost in the immediate, but it pays in the ultimate. That was Job. And Job became the greatest of all the men of the East. Everybody knew him. Now, number five example will be Daniel. Daniel is who you will call the man of notorious integrity. That is well known for character. In Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart. In Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 4, all the way to verse 5, it was well known. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They were looking for what to find, they couldn't find. When they said nobody should pray, in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6, the sinner said, we can't find anything in chapter 6 verse 10. Then when Daniel knew that the writing was sealed, he went and opened his windows and prayed as at other times. Listen. Every time you find a man of notorious integrity, you have found a man of perpetual relevance. And you may be asking, what do you mean? Notorious integrity means good character that is well known, that is public knowledge. We can't find anything against this man except it pertains to the law of his God. That is, if you say he shouldn't go to church, you can imprison him. There were pastors in America that went to prison during the COVID period. When they say churches should not open, and they open the church. If you say he should not pray, you can send him to prison. That is well-known integrity. And when you find such a man, you will find a person of perpetual relevance. You know perpetual relevance? Seasons come and seasons go, and you remain intact. Daniel started from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was succeeded by his son Belshazzar. He still appointed Daniel. Belshazzar was overthrown by Darius. Darius, the enemy who overthrew Belshazzar, still retained Daniel as a principal officer. Cyrus killed Darius and took over government and still appointed Daniel. For 71 solid years, this man was in government. Opposite governments. Antagonistic governments. He was indisposable. Literally indispensable. They hate who he served, but they don't hate his character. They hate who he worked for, but they can't deny his worth. He was too valuable to be replaced. And when Daniel was like that, I just told you his end. From one administration to another for 71 years. And in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 1 and 2, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which will be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So first vice president. First president. And all the princes gave account to Daniel. That is where somebody here is heading. Can somebody say a loud amen? Let them give you money. Let the money be intact. Let them make you in charge of the resources and let it be intact. That is where you are heading. Say loud amen. Sixth example is Paul the Apostle. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10, Paul speaking said, you are witnesses, and God also. How? Holily. Justly. This word, holily, this is the only place you will find it in the whole Bible. Holily. Justly. Unblameably. We behaved ourselves among you that believe. That's a human being talking. Holily. Justly. Unblameably. So he was the late comer apostle that became the frontliner. He came later than Peter, but became the head of Peter. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, he said, by the grace of God, me that I am the least of all the apostles, I am not even qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace that came upon me was not in vain, oh, too bad, too good. I labored more abundantly. I overtook all of them. Than they all. Put all of them together and put my labor together. My own labor is more than all of them put together. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Divide the New Testament by two. You give one to Paul the Apostle. From Acts of the Apostles to Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to Galatians, to Ephesians, to Philippians, to Colossians, to 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, to Timothy, 1 and 2, to Titus, to Philemon, to Hebrews. Give all to Paul, half, and then divide the rest for the 11. In fact, not the rest, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But divide the rest for the 11 lesson. That was Paul. I labored more abundantly, more than all of them put together. Because this Peter you have seen, he has denied him before. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I see somebody going places here. If you are that one, say loud amen. If you are that one, say loud amen. You will not be left behind. You will not be left behind. You will not be left behind. I heard a very, very sad story yesterday. Someone I used to know, very powerful in every realm. Very, very powerful. I think somebody went to his house like a house girl or something. Grew in the house and pushed out madam. Oh yeah. Scattered everybody. Scattered wives, scattered children. Nobody can near the man except the Jezebel. And as that happened, so crashed everything. Everything crashed. Everything crashed. Everything crashed. What do you want to gain in this world that will cost you everything? That will cost, what is worth you losing wife, losing children, losing relationship? What is it worth? You become history while you are alive. If it is charm, you know this boy. With your eye watching. So they went backward and not forward. These things take people backward and not forward. Lost everything. So sad. It will never be your portion. It will never be your portion. You will never be the victim of any disastrous transaction. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. You will never be the victim of any disastrous transaction. Shout the loudest amen. And finally, our Master Jesus, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the love we're talking about on Sunday. Our Master Jesus loved and loved and loved until he loved away his life. It was a class suicide. You know, class suicide. When a president of a nation one time suddenly becomes a street sweeper, a cleaner for salary. I heard of a boxer one time who had 120 Rolls Royces at the heyday of his boxing and had a different colors of suit to match each car. He crashed to zero until he began to box on the street for money. That one was a crash by stupidity. Our own master crashed by humility. He was the God who decided to become man in order to rescue man. He poured away his life and was ready to pass through anything. What a love. That's what we talk about on Sunday. By the time he cried, now, that is the murder of character. That love that you love to a point where it appears as if you have loved the people more than you love yourself. For us, we are told, love your neighbor as yourself. This one is as if he loved us more than he loved himself. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You cannot go down in humility and not be made to go up in authority. If character takes you down, the power of the Almighty must take you up. If you decide by character to go down because of sacrifice, the Almighty's power will lift you up in satisfaction until you don't know who is your contemporary. Until you don't know who is your contemporary. Therefore, the Master lifted him. So love and love like you, like the Master. You will come to the point where that same power of the Most High will lift you up until you cannot know who is your contemporary. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loud must say amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to move up in life at the frequency of character. Say amen. You know, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. We saw Abraham, how he went up. We saw Jacob, up by character. Joseph, up. Job, up. Daniel, very up.
Paul the apostle, he overtook those who started before him. And our master, a class of his own. Question is, if godly character lives, does bad character drop? Yes. Ungodly character puts people down and places them at the back. I might not read a lot of scriptures, but example number one here is Esau. Esau was the firstborn of Isaac, who was meant to inherit the lineal blessing of Abraham and Isaac. But Esau is nowhere to be found today because he could not control his appetite. He could not control his flesh. Esau is out of history. Esau is out of relevance. There is no Edomites on the earth today. It's bad character. It limits people. Two, Gehazi. Gehazi was a man who should have inherited the double portion of Elisha's anointing. If Elijah gave Elisha a double portion, Elisha should have given Gehazi a double portion. But what Gehazi received was the double portion of leprosy because of lying and fraud. Lying and fraud. Good character takes people up. Bad character drops people. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 5, all the way from verse 21 thereabout, you will see the story of Gehazi. So Gehazi followed Naaman. I started from Esau and Gehazi. Why should I forget Cain? Cain was the one who killed his brother. You see the story of Cain in Genesis chapter 4, from verse 1 all the way to verse 10. Cain was the firstborn of Adam. Cain would have had a very great destiny. But Cain is nowhere to be found in history because of bad character. Example number 4, Judas is callous. Is Judas not callous? Judas is callous. How can you send the man who gave you the money bag to hold? Even though he knows you are a thief, he said, go ahead and steal anything you want. You still sold him on top of your thievery. Judas confirmed that no amount of money can satisfy a thief. We have thieves in our country who have been stealing forever. Not satisfied. We have kidnappers who, no amount of money can satisfy a thief. You know, people are asking for ransom today after capturing people. Judah was the first one to ask. Opposite ransom. Give me 30 pieces of silver. I hand him over to you. He sold him. Where is Judas today? You know what Jesus said? Those of you that have followed me in this life, I will appoint unto you 12 thrones in my Father's kingdom, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There was a throne for Judas. He's not on that throne now. I appoint unto you 12 thrones, and you shall be judging the 12 tribes of Israel for a few pieces of silver. He lost an eternal throne. If godly character lifts people, bad character drops people. But you see, I know some people who have bad character and they are still seem to be flying. It's a matter of time. Jehovah God will crush them in this world first. And then in eternal flames of hell. Before a God that cannot be bribed. An earthly judge can be bribed, but not the judge of judges. Idi Amin of Uganda. He became a pauper before he died. Democratic Republic of Congo, Mobutu Sese Seko. He had everything in his compound. Everything. He had a landing and airport in his house. He had everything in his life, in his heyday. But he had to run to North Africa, to France. The house where he left is now a desolate ground. It's about the most expensive building in the world. Compound. Nothing is happening there. See today. Even in our nation, we know of people. So, as good character will take you up, bad one will keep you down. But I believe that you are going up. Before the conclusion, what is the lifting power of good character? What happens? How does good character lift people? What is in good character that makes it to lift? Number one, a godly character. Godly character releases human potentials. Your potentials come out, your best come out. When you live the life that is godly, it is the same way you put gold inside fire and you remove the impurities of gold, then you have enhanced its worth. It's the same way you put crude oil through a refinery and you remove everything that is not meant to be there, and then you have premium motor spirit, PMS, and all the other products. In Proverbs 25 and in verse 4, he said, take away the dross from the silver. Remove the impurity out of the silver. And there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take the lying out. Take the bitterness out. Take the hatred out. Take the greed and the lust out. And the cheating out. And you will be shocked at what your potential will be. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. He said, therefore thus saith the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you again, and you shall stand before me. And if you take forth the precious from the vile, if you separate the impurity from the pure, then you shall be as my mouth. Your prophetic potential shall come out. Your impact shall come out. When you take away the vile and separate it from the precious. Godly character releases human potentials. Number two, godly character activates divine empowerment for upliftment. Divine empowerment for upliftment. It makes God to empower you and take you up. That was what we read. Oh, I hope we read that in Isaiah 33. Verse 15 to 16. Isaiah 33, verse 15 to 16. He said, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding bribes, the man that stops his ears from hearing of blood. You see, this guy is walking righteously, is speaking correctly, not a liar. It's not oppressing people to make money. It's not using fraudulent money. It stops his ears when they are talking about backbiting and injuring people. He shuts his eyes from evil. He won't be a partaker of evil. He's not sitting from morning till night watching pornographic movies. He shut his eyes from seeing evil. You know what he said? He said, that man shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. He shall dwell on that. That is, the man who walks like that, I will catapult him up. I'm shooting him up. There is an empowerment for upliftment that happens. When this man walks righteously. And you look again in Isaiah, in Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5. Psalm 24, verse 3. All the way to verse 5. Who shall ascend? You see, it is ascending. Into the hill of the Lord. Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands pure heart. He has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. He has not sworn deceitfully. He said, that man shall receive blessing from the Lord. He shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. Hallelujah. Somebody is going up, say amen. So there is a way in which God empowers you. He empowers you. You know, so that is why if you want to see the results of people, do what they are doing. Do what they are. You can't be lying and be cheating and be duping. And be envying those who are not touching what is not theirs. No, you can't. You can't. Somebody say a loud amen. You can't. We'll talk about this in more detail. And we spoke about this kind of thing during the convention of strength. You can't. Finally, number three, godly character rebukes and frustrates the resistance of the enemy. Normally, the enemy comes with resistance. He wants to stop you. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 30, he said, the prince of this world, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. The devil is looking for me. He wants to resist me, but there is, I don't carry his property, so he can't stand me. He can't stand in front of me. He can't stop my moves. Unlike he stopped Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, I believe it was from verse 1, when he showed me the picture of Joshua the high priest, and Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. And he said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a brand plucked out of the fire? Why? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. So Satan stood to fight him. He was wearing the cloth of lies, or the cloth of cheating, or the cloth of stealing, or the cloth of immorality, or the cloth of something was on him. And Satan stood him. But Jesus said, that same Satan is coming, but he can't find anything hanging on me to use to stop me. Godly character resists and frustrates satanic resistance. So that helps you to move where you are meant to go. Godly character activates divine empowerment for upliftment. Godly character activates divine empowerment, and of course, godly character releases human potentials. Is this clear to anybody here tonight at all? Finally, what is the counsel? Number one, maintain uprightness of life at all seasons. And what is the uprightness of life? It is defined in one phrase. In Acts 24:16. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and towards men. I want to do my best to ensure that I am not offending God and I am not offending man. A conscience void of offense. That towards God my conscience is clear, and towards man my conscience is clear. Uprightness of life. There are people with conscience that is dead. They kill without qualms. They steal without qualms. They rob. Secondly, make demands. Make amends with God as quickly and as completely as you can. Make amends. While we pass through the journey of life, erring is real and is possible. To err. Some people say to err is human. For as long as we are in the flesh, you may say a thing that was not true. Not that you meant to lie, but that what was available to you at that time made you to say what you said without knowing, and so on and so forth.
You may not look for sin and sin looked for you. And so on and so forth. But to make amends with God, according to 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 to verse 9, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 to verse 9, he said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth, is a present continuous tense, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say it is better to confess the sin than to excuse the sin. Jesus told the woman, I'm not condemning you. All I am pleading with you is go and sin no more. When I say these people that didn't stone you, they did not stone you because you did the right thing. Right? Not because you did the right thing. But go and don't do the wrong thing anymore. What a loving Savior. Anybody who ended in hell actually wanted to go there or desperately struggled to be there. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. And if he pass your power, make demands on his help. Lord, I need to end this tabac. I need to end this alcohol. It's passing my power. In my heart, I don't want to drink it. But there is an urge that is beyond my willpower. I want it broken. And it will be broken. We're going to pray three prayers tonight. The first one will be related to the message. And the second one will be related to two other matters. Lift up your hands, first of all, and let's appreciate the King of Kings. And I'm so happy one more time that we are all connected around the nation. And I trust the Lord. Sunday again, we are going back to continue our Sunday message of last Sunday. But lift up your hands and say after me and say, Father.
Father.
Thank you. For your goodness.
For your goodness.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
Now look at Titus chapter 2. While we remain standing, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 12. That place will charge us to pray. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth... Everybody read it together. I want to go. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. We should live soberly,
righteously, and godly in this present world.
This is the real definition of grace. Titus 2:12. Leave it. Grace instructs and grace empowers not to do wrong, but to avoid ungodliness. Godliness is godlikeness. Anything that is not like God, to avoid it. To avoid worldly lusts. And to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Summary, grace teaches you to say no to the wrong thing and yes to the right thing. Anything that is wrong, if grace is on you, you can say no. No, I can't drink again. The one that makes you to keep on drinking is not grace. So, Father, I apply for the grace to say no to the wrong thing and to say yes to the right thing. So we deny ungodly lust and worldly law, ungodliness, and then we say yes to soberness, to righteousness, to godliness. Lift your hands and say, Father, I apply for your grace to say no to the wrong things and to say yes to the right things. I apply for the grace. I receive it now. For the next 1.5 minutes, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. 1.5 minutes. I'm going to go to the hospital. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. John 14 and in verse 30. We'll take 2 minutes for this particular one. John 14 and in verse 30. It says, read together, one to go. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Luke chapter 10 and in verse 19. Luke 10, 19. He said, behold, I give unto you power. Everybody want to go. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall the enemy hurt you. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and say after me and say, Father.
Father.
Louder, say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I come against
every agenda
of resistance from the kingdom of darkness against my life, against my family, against the church, against Dunamis Church in this season. We command it to dissolve and die in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, we come against every agenda of resistance from the enemy in this season, against my life, against my family, against the church, against Dunamis Church. We command it to dissolve and die in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lift your voice and pray. Every agenda, Father, we come against every agenda of the enemy against my life, against my family, against Dunamis Church, against the church, and against Dunamis Church. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 34 and in verse 5. Everybody read together, one to go. They looked unto him and were lighted, and their faces were not ashamed. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and say, Father. Now we are going to be praying and asking the Lord to give us a visitation for the first anniversary of commanding the day midnight prayer. Give the Lord a praise. 6 more days. I hear of people who have decided to do a very drastic fast. They won't taste food, only water, until the day arrives. Because they said they have heard other people's testimonies and they want to hear their own, either before that day or by that date. I'm not asking you, I'm not making it a formula. Alright? Neither am I suggesting it in any way. But I'm just telling you about how desperate some people are. And I want you to be very desperate. I believe that on that, if God has done several things for us within 1 year, between now and that day, He will answer you. We are looking up to Him, we are lightened.
and our faces will not be ashamed. Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I ask that you visit me.
Give me
a testimony,
a change of story.
At the first anniversary
of the
commanding the name in that prayer. Father, give me
an anniversary
gift
on
the first anniversary
of
the commanding the name in that
prayer.
I receive
my
anniversary
gift,
oh Lord,
in the
name of Jesus.
Lift
your voice and pray.
I receive
my anniversary gift, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
I ask that you
visit me.
Give me
a testimony,
a change
of story.
Icarus
for us.
Let us see
a
change of
story
at the
first anniversary.
I receive
my anniversary gift.
Let's
start.
Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lift your hands and give him the praise. We pray upon the communion tonight. The Bible says concerning our Master Jesus, he was at all points tempted and was without sin. That power to say no to the wrong thing and to say yes to the right thing. The power that made him to function like that, we connect it through the communion. And we declare a flushing out of our system. Everything in us that does not belong. Every wild nature. Every strange nature. Every anti-God nature. Every contra-Christ nature in our lives. We declare it flushed out. The love that we studied on Sunday, he was love personified, he is. Let that love flow like never before. Anything that is an unusual grip on your life, grip of lie, of cheating, of duping, grip of deception, grip of immorality, grip of fraud, of addiction of any sort, I declare them broken in the name of Jesus. And I declare it a new day, a new season, fresh help, fresh mercy, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be.